Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. And today we're going to start talking about Yuzu, well, Suyu, the Yuzu fork for the Switch emulator. And I talked about it, I think it was yesterday. Well, it's already been taken down by GitLab after a DMCA takedown notice from Nintendo was issued. Now, since the project was based on Yuzu, which had already been taken down, there was no discussion, no arguing, and Suyu was instantly removed. Now, of course, it was an open source project, so the code is probably still around somewhere, and it will very likely resurface at some point. But it will have to be relatively stealthy, which should prove relatively hard for a project like that, because we're talking about the internet not sharing something that they use to emulate games, which seems impossible, but I am sure someone else will recreate another project based on that code at some point, and maybe, I don't know, host it somewhere where a takedown notice doesn't really affect them or something, I don't know. They'll probably find a way to make it a bit more resilient, but at some point, Nintendo is going to come for every fork of Yuzu that they are made aware of, because they just suck. Now, Threads, Meta's own version of Twitter, now opened up Fediverse Federation in beta, only for users in the US, Canada, or Japan. And it's just a first draft, it is not complete yet. You must have a public account on Threads to use it, you have to enable that feature yourself, and it just lets users from other Fediverse services like Mastodon, PixelFed, and others, it lets them find your account and follow it and interact with your posts and share them. You cannot yet follow people from Mastodon or other Fediverse apps from Threads for now. And some people are apparently reporting issues with PixelFed just not working with Threads. You cannot follow someone on PixelFed from the Threads app. So there are a few implementation problems, whether they're linked to PixelFed itself or to Threads. We don't really know yet. Now, this obviously will be a controversial thing. Some people will like the fact that they can now follow people that would have never been on Mastodon or other services. It just opens up the breadth of people and content you can see from the Fediverse. But some will also be worried about some form of ActivityPub takeover from Meta, because they will have a lot more users than virtually any other Fediverse service. And so since they're implementing the ActivityPub protocol, nothing prevents them from trying to extend it with some non-standard protocols and features that other apps will either have to support or just die because, well, no one will interact with them if they don't support those features. In the end, personally, I don't really care. I don't plan on following anyone that isn't currently on Mastodon or any other Fediverse service because I don't need to. I already follow most people and topics I'm interested in, and it already gives me a very big and full timeline. But I would also like other people to be able to follow me from Threads if that's the client they decided to use. I don't think it's a good choice. I don't think you should use Facebook services for anything social media related because they are known for being super invasive in terms of privacy. But if you decide to go and use Threads, I would like you to be able to follow me and see what I post, even though I'm not on Threads, I'm on Mastodon. So if Meta at some point adds this capability in the future, it just gives more choice for people who want to interact with what I make. And personally, I am okay with it. Now let's talk a bit about gaming. FSR 3.1 was announced to upscale your games even more smoothly. If you don't know, FSR is that technology that lets you run, for example, a game at 1080p on a 4K monitor, and the game will still look a bit like it's rendered at 4K, but it only uses the resources to render it at 1080p, so you have like a resolution that works on your display, but also not the resource consumption that comes from running and rendering the game at true 4K. So this new version of FSR promises less flickering and less blurriness around objects in motion. That's something that you really notice with these upscaling things. Generally, objects that are moving can look a bit streaky, they can look blurry or fuzzy on the edges, and so apparently FSR 3.1 reduces that. It also reduces the ghosting effect for objects that are moving, and it will better preserve details. But also, more importantly, they have decoupled their frame generation features from the upscaling itself, because these technologies can also let you slot in some more frames inside of the frames that the games generate. They try to predict what an extra frame would look like. So for example, your game is your computer is rendering the game at 30 FPS or 45 FPS, and FSR will add some frames to get you up to 60. It does introduce latency because these are fake generated frames. They are not rendered by the game itself, so they don't respond to your inputs, but it does make the game look a bit smoother, and it can be very useful in games that don't require a pinpoint super accurate reaction time. So this frame generation is now decoupled from the upscaling features, meaning that you could use, for example, NVIDIA's DLSS frame generation, which is apparently a bit better than what AMD offers, but you could still use FSR instead of DLSS, which means you can pick the best of both worlds if you want, and I think that's nice. So the first game that supports FSR 3.1 will be Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and judging from an animated GIF, or GIF, however you want to pronounce it, judging from that, it does look much better with moving objects. Other games that will jump on that new version are Cyberpunk 2077, Dying Light 2, Ghost of Tsushima, and Space Marine 2, which is still not released but should come with that new FSR baked in. And personally, I really like those upscaling technologies, because not only are they very good to play games more smoothly on hardware that isn't necessarily top of the line, but they also help you keep your hardware for longer, because newer games run better with FSR than if they hadn't that implemented, or with DLSS on the same hardware, and also newer games support better and newer implementations of these features, meaning that you can still play those newer titles on older GPUs with a solid experience, and so you don't really need to change or buy new hardware that often, which I think it's a net positive. And our last topic will be about Apple again, because it looks like the US wants to take a page out of the EU's book, as they decided to sue Apple for anti-competitive practices. The Department of Justice claims that Apple took advantage of their dominant position, of their ecosystem, and of their App Store monopoly to extract more money from developers and consumers. They also argue that Apple, instead of trying to compete fairly with other innovations and other smartphone manufacturers, instead imposed a series of rules and restrictions in their App Store and in iOS, including blocking cross-platform messaging technologies by just using iMessage and not opening it up to anyone else, by limiting wallet and smartwatch features, meaning that if you bought an Apple Watch, you were basically stuck on iPhone unless you wanted to buy another watch, and they also disrupted cloud streaming services and apps that didn't want to be in the App Store. So basically, the main complaint from the DOJ is that Apple implemented barriers to leaving their platform instead of competing fairly on price and features, which means that they locked users in their ecosystem, and according to the DOJ, they smothered an entire industry. Now, of course, Apple isn't having any of that. They're saying the lawsuit threatens their identity, which apparently is defined as "we want to lock users in," and also that their policies are crucial to keeping their devices secure and private, which is obviously nonsense because most of the policies in question here have nothing to do with privacy or security. So we'll have to see if the US has the same capabilities as the EU to regulate that company and to make them a bit more open to third-party apps and services, and to make them just compete fairly by opening up their services, accepting other services, and just being another smartphone instead of being a completely separate platform. In the US, Apple's market share is way higher than in the rest of the world. It's apparently about 60%. And in the rest of the world, Android has 70% of the market share. So it's even more important in the USA to make sure that Apple plays fair there. And one might argue that the App Store and iOS is not a monopoly because, well, it's not a monopoly because it only has 60% market share in the US and 30% in the world. But it is a monopoly because you do not compare iOS to Android. It's not the smartphone market that matters. It's iOS as a platform. On iOS, you cannot have anything other than the App Store, which is run by Apple and where Apple decides everything. So Apple holds a monopoly on app distribution on iOS. which itself has a dominant position in the US because it has 60% of the market share. So it's a textbook definition of a monopoly. A company controls a platform entirely and decides what goes in or not. Another entire platform that is completely incompatible with all your previous purchases, all your previous hardware, for example, Android, is just not the same market. Android and iOS do not share the same market in the App Store department because your apps aren't competing from the Android Google Play Store or from the iOS App Store. You cannot port your purchases from one to the other, so they are not the same platform. And on the hardware front, since Apple's hardware is generally very incompatible with Android, and some Android hardware is also completely incompatible with iPhone, then it means you just cannot put these two platforms in the same market. They're not. They're utterly incompatible. There's the Android market and there's the iPhone market, and both have to be addressed separately. And on iOS, Apple holds a monopoly on app distribution, and they definitely abuse that monopoly by imposing restrictions on any other developers, by just letting themselves, Apple, access certain features that other developers just cannot have access to, meaning that Apple's hardware and services were always better than the ones of competitors. And they also refuse to open up that platform to alleviate those problems by just pushing back and not adding their services to Android, which is another platform. So in the end, they do abuse their monopoly and their dominant position on iOS. That's just a fact. So let's hope that the US can regulate them, maybe in the same way as the EU does. They will probably not go as far because they're generally way more free market than the EU is. But in the end, I think it's going to be a good thing for consumers in general if Apple is forced to open up their services and their hardware to, well, anyone else. Okay, so that concludes this episode for the day. I hope you enjoyed it, and as always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one on Monday. Bye!